Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer in here on WBEN. And I hate to start the show on a down sour note. If you were listening to the tail end when Susan was still in here, kind of made reference of what we were going to start with.
You think
this
is
morning.
A sour note?
No, Joe, it is. So if you know me, I'm for the past several years, I've lived in North Tonawanda. I love what has been going on with the area. I think it is maybe the best kept secret in Western New York.
North Tonawanda.
And I am one of the people who before, I have not been an NT person before. I've lived in the city of Tonawanda, familiar with the town of Tonawanda, I'm familiar with the North towns. But I was definitely one of the people who would have written off North Tonawanda. In fact, I initially did when we were looking for a house. I was like, North Tonawanda, I don't know. Until you started to look there and I go, wow, like what great value you get here. Like what, it's a great community. Like I'm a walking distance from a thriving Main Street that's only getting bigger and better. And there's so many cool things going on here. Like, let's get in now. Like, this is going to really take off in the next few years. I think I've been right on that. Mm-hmm. We've, I think, done a great job in North Tonawanda. It's a building. It's still a secret. I'm on the fence right now. If I'm like one of these people who say, keep it a secret and, don't let everyone know about it. Or if I want to shove it in everybody's face who continues to, for whatever reason, laugh at North Tonawanda. We got it all happening.
Since visiting you several times now in North Tonawanda, I mean, I would have also written off North Tonawanda. I'm not looking to move anytime soon, but I think North Tonawanda is a great place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, you plop our neighborhood in anywhere else in Western New York, and all of a sudden you're going to pay like five times as much to live there. Like, it is.
You are a North Tonawandian.
I don't think that's how you say it, but
no.
I'm a booster. I like the area.
Yes.
So it just crushed me yesterday to see like the reputation get a hit again. Right? So I was at home yesterday and then I saw this going down and I'm just thinking, I see this and I go, this just set us back 20 years.
Yeah.
Like all this positive work we've done to kind of shed a certain image in North Tonawanda, and now it's just like, here we are, like back in the old tropes again. And I don't know, I didn't like it that much. And this is not, it was in the Buffalo News. I'm not blaming the Buffalo News, I'm just reporting on the issue. I don't want to blame anybody in particular, but when this headline came out, I go, here we go again. Here come the jokes at my town's expense. As I opened up the news and I saw North Tonawanda boy finalist for Nation's Best Kids Mullet. And I thought, there we go. Like, that's 15 years of hard work ruined by one piece of paper down the drain to repair that image and put a different idea in people's head.
But Nationwide puts North Tonawanda...
There it goes.
Nationwide puts North Tonawanda on the map. He's got a great... Grayson.
That's not what we want to be on the map for.
Grayson Woods has a good chance to take this thing home. Parade down Main Street? Come on.
I want to be careful here.
Yes.
Why? One, why? Why did this have to happen in North Tonawanda? Like, of all the places, there's a million people who are cutting their kids' hair into mullets. There's a million places this could happen. Why did it have to happen in my hometown? It's like, everyone's reading this story and going, of course. Like, that's the reaction.
Yep.
Everyone else had in Western New York were like, yeah, well, where else are you going to find it? Of course it's in North Tonawanda. And I'm like, come on, why? But then the second why, like, why? Poor Grayson. He's 2 years old.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, as the father of a three-year-old, at 2 years old, they don't know what they want. Like, he's not asking for the mullet. This thing is... They call him Baby Joe Dirt.
Yes, yeah.
Joe Dirt looks like Fabio compared to whatever haircut this is. This is not a mullet. This is a kid's haircut-ish with, I don't know what you call it. It's like they forgot a spot in the back, and they forgot a spot for forever.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting mullet, but obviously it's one of the best in the country.
I'm reading the comments. Like, here's the, so you go into the comments and it's exactly what somebody says. First comment: when he gets bullied in school, blame the parents. Now I'm hoping that this haircut is not.
No.
Although we'll get to that in a second, Joe. This might not actually be a problem in school anymore, based on what I'm seeing around the area. And then the first reply to that comment: well, it's North Tonawanda. He'll be fine in school there. Like, come on. No, he won't. But like, how do you style your kid's hair? Like, my son is, I mean, you know, one of them's a baby, so you don't do anything. But my three-year-old, he gets hair. Our neighbor doesn't, because she has like her own little salon studio right there in the basement. Oh, it's perfect.
Very convenient.
So she does it for us. It's great. And like, all, you know, it just trims up. And then it grows out again. It looks like he's got some wild hair. And then, you know, we trim it up again, and it just looks fine. But I have not yet gone to the, like, let's get him this haircut.
A mullet.
Like, get him the high and tight. Well, that will never happen.
Okay.
Like, but I've not gotten to the point where it's like, all right, haircut, like, this style, this is what we're going with.
Right.
Like, when do you get to that as a parent? Do you just let your kid go wild, whatever they want?
Yes.
Goes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, for years my parents were doing the you know, part the hair and comb, and I look at these pictures, and no offense to my parents, I love my parents to death, but I wish they would have let me have a little
say. But it's the same as everybody's, though. Like, everybody has that. It's not like you're, like, the one...
You know, I take that back, because
kid with the mullet. And
I wanted a bowl cut when bowl cuts were big in the 90s.
You wanted a bowl cut.
Yeah, and my parents let me have it. And you know what? You know what? Mom and Dad, I take it back. I'm glad you made my hair decisions for me until I was a certain age.
You wanted the bowl cut.
Until I was 21.
I like that. but like, is that what it is? It anything goes? You let your kid decide? Like, you're in Big Daddy and, you know, your kid decides what they want their hair to look like? I don't think that's...
To an extent... if it, within reason,
I don't
know.
Here's my theory on this, Joe. You can tell me if I'm an insane parent or not. My theory on this is, if you go in with your kid, you know, to a certain age, you go in with your kid till age 12.
Okay.
Let's say 13. I don't know. And you say, all right, Frank, give him the high and tight. You know what to do. You direct the barber. You give your kid side part, you know, whatever it is. And he has the same haircut all the time. Then he has the opportunity, and this is, I probably sound like a lunatic right now. Then when he gets older and he's like 15, 16 years old, he or she, you know, whatever. I use he because I don't really know how this goes with girls' hair. It's probably a completely different discussion.
Right.
But like a guy's haircut. Then when they're a little bit older, they're making their own decisions. And they can get a little wacky or rebellious. Maybe they grow out this mullet. And in fact, I see a lot of kids that age with this version of a mullet. Like, I see more kids walking around looking like Eddie Guerrero than I ever have in my life.
See, I thought you...
In the gym. Side shaved, little curly on top, and then longer in the back. Yeah. It's all over the place. I
don't
know what's going on.
Very happy about this. Like, you seem like the type of person that'd be very happy that the mullet...
I appreciate it. I think it is. I cannot fathom doing this to my own child, and I don't like that we're getting the rap as the mullet city once again, which we've worked so hard to shed over the last decade. But my thinking: once your child goes and gets their own haircut, then they can rebel a little bit. They push back, like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, oh, my dad made me get these high and tight haircuts. I look like I was just enlisted for the last 12 years. Well, now I'll show them going crazy. I got a mohawk. You know, like, oh, I'll cut the side of it off and then leave the other half. Like, I'll look like Two-Face or something like that. And they'll go crazy. Later. You rebel with your hair. Now, if you've always had the crazy hair, you can't really rebel with your hair. And that's when you start... stealing cars. I sound like a lunatic.
I was going to say,
but that is the theory in my head.
Because I think at a younger age, you let them make that decision with their hair to realize, you know what, we don't have to be crazy about everything. You know, you don't have to go to the extreme. Look at the reaction you got when you did this at 10 years old, right? Like, Joe, you know, you didn't have to get frosted tips. Look how ridiculous you looked and the reaction you got in school. You know what I mean? Like
it's a lesson learned type thing.
So I don't think it's you trade in one rebellious act for another. It's, you know what? Let's not go extreme. This might work for that person on TV, but mom and dad had things right. Let's go with just a nice haircut and, you know, continue this look.
I don't know.
Like it and you continue rolling.
It's like
with
the feeling in the back of my head. Like it was cool when I was you should have seen my lunch table at high school, Joe. Like we had one kid with a huge mohawk, another who, like my friend, would put Elmer's glue in his hair and just do like the Liberty spikes, like all over, had spikes. Somebody else had half the hair dyed blonde and the other, you know, just regular, like ever. My head was always shaved. We were a bunch of punks,
yeah.
Right? And like that was, your hair was like a form of rebellion.
Was that the cool table?
Because you never, probably not. No. but like that was kind of like the thing, the pushback to make you stand out. But if now everybody's going crazy with the hair from kindergarten, what's the next thing to make you do to stand out? It's probably something a little more extreme.
You know what I've learned,
hair.
Brian?
That's my thinking.
You know what I've learned? Your personality can help you stand out.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, I never did anything overly extreme.
I have that Sesame Street book, too.
But I'm saying I never did anything that I think was overly extreme. I was just always...
You have done a lot of things that I would think are overly extreme.
I was just...
I don't know. You just have a different mind.
I'm just loud and annoying. And you know what? I think it was my personality that helped me stick out. I didn't have to go crazy.
I know, but do you understand like where I'm coming from?
I get what you're saying.
And now it's like, all right, so now I'm an adult. Like everyone I know from back there, like we just have a normal, you know, we look like everybody else.
Look
basically.
How ridiculous we looked.
See, I don't say that. I probably have a lot of the same haircuts I did when I was a kid. Anyway, there's probably some people who still wear their hair the same way. But I don't go back to that now that I'm a father, and I just think of like I see people at shows all the time who are still look exactly the same as they did 15 years ago. Yeah. But I can only think of like having kids, looking at your parents, and now being like, well, geez, like, mom, what am I going to do to rebel? Mom's already has, you know.
There it is.
Like, is wearing clothespins. And like, what are we going to do now? And like, you take it, to me in my head, you take it a step further. You're driving a car through a window.
And driver's head?
Yeah. Again, I know I sound like a lunatic, but that's my...
You know, it's one of those things with time, Brian. That's the beauty of parenting. With time, we will learn all the answers to these and more.
I just... A two-year-old with that mullet is... Like, come on.
But maybe that's what he wanted. I'm sure
he doesn't. He's two.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Two-year-olds don't want anything.
You've experienced.
Want everything. They don't know what they want.
Well, I'm sure he likes the attention. No one doesn't like the attention. No?
Ask that kid in 10 years if he thinks he liked the attention
the
he
moment.
Got from that picture.
In the moment.
I don't think so.
No?
I can't believe you just said that's what he wanted. 2 years old.
My kid's 2 months old. I haven't experienced the terrible twos yet. I don't know.
It's not. There's no such thing as the terrible twos.
That's not what my sister tells me.
The idea that a two-year-old can pick out and say, yeah, that's how I want it. And that's what you end up with.
Yeah?
No.
All right.
That doesn't happen.
All right.
That is the parents putting that on their kids.
With all that said, good luck.
Because you're going to need it?
Well, good luck to win you're this far. Might as well just win the whole thing.
Can I say this? I hope he doesn't.
Okay.
I hate to say I'm rooting against somebody from Western New York. I am rooting against the North Tonawanda child to be named Mullet of the World. I don't necessarily want that plaque plastered on the side of the road underneath the 2009 state high school football champions. Thank you.
Not only do I want him to win, I want Brian to have to cover the parade.
Oh,
we'll do the show live, North Tonawanda. Congratulations, Mullet of the Year.
Well, now that that's out of the way...
Hopefully we'll see the competition on ESPN 8, The Ocho, when ESPN does that, day-long ESPN 8 thing, yeah.
I just, come on. The baby Joe Dirt is what, mothers everywhere, is that like what you dream, you know, wow, one day I'll have a baby Joe Dirt of my own.
I can't wait. Hopefully at two, my kid has the hair.
Is that what, like, we always... I mean, this is insane. I don't. Anyways,
I mean, I'll tell you this: to make North Tonawanda stand out, if you don't want the bad name, when my son is two, I'll enter him into this contest, and then Williamsville will have a mullet contestant. All right, and maybe that will even out the North Tonawanda talk, if that will help.
Yeah. The other thing driving people insane. This is what drives me insane, but for everybody else, it's. Tipping, right? Is that still the big topic of discussion out there?
And I think it's because I think for years and decades, you knew when to tip, right? You tipped when you went out to dinner. You tipped your delivery driver. Maybe you tipped your paper boy or paper girl. But now, I mean, you're asked to tip the person who opened the can for you, and I didn't want the can opened. And I think that's why it's putting this spotlight. But there was a piece in the Buffalo News, and you know, I'm not trying to throw dirt at the Buffalo News. The Buffalo News has a way, and I don't agree with a lot of their opinion pieces anyway, but I like to read opposing opinions. They have a way of talking down to their readers, I've noticed. Anyway, there's a piece about tipping in the paper today that says it's time to end tipping. End tipping, Brian. And it's they say it's because they would like to see restaurants have to pay full wages. And let me just say, as someone who has worked a tip job, a different tip job for 20 years. 20 years ago, I was a paper boy, made tips. I delivered pizzas for 12 years, made tips. I do gig work now, make tips. Let me tell you, that is an awful idea because I can't think of ever having a bad day that outweighed the good or great days. And I would argue that a majority of people who work tip jobs would rather keep things the way they are now than, oh, well, we're going to pay you minimum wage and get rid of tips. That, to me, is ridiculous. But that's what's being proposed in this article in the paper today.
Well, I don't think the argument would be we're going to get rid of tips and pay you minimum wage. I think the argument would be we would get rid of tips and pay you what you're worth.
But how do you write that into law? Right? The argument is to get rid of the lower wages for restaurant workers.
Right.
But the way things go, Brian, there would be places that, okay, yeah, we'll get rid of that.
Okay.
You're making the state minimum wage.
Would the places that pay out the least, if everyone's having a hard time finding anybody to work,
that's true.
The places that pay the least will have no employees.
But that's why I say this is a losing strategy for a lot of businesses. A lot of small businesses, I think this is a losing strategy. And I would say, again, people who work in the industry would say, I like the tips I make, you know, especially popular places. I don't want to see my tips go away.
Well, I would prefer it. I'll tell you that much.
All right.
And we'll talk about it coming up next. To B-Maz and Beamer on WBEM.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. So, you know, tipping is made the news once again, Buffalo News editorial about how tipping should go away. And, you know, I like the points that it brings up in this editorial where it's, I think it's pretty fair to each side of the issue because it does make reference that, look, you work at a higher scale restaurant, you work at some of these places. Getting rid of tipping would not be beneficial to you. You know, and there are a lot of tip jobs that do very well. For a lot of other people, it points to the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars across the state in tipped wages that have been... what happened to them? They vanished out of thin air, stolen by bosses or business owners or whoever else.
Too.
That just don't exist anymore. I mean, that's money that just goes poof away that you'd want to do away with that. And a lot of people who work on tips that, well, maybe it's not the best, the way that the business is going and doesn't provide enough to keep them going in that industry.
By the way, if you have cash, always try to tip cash. That's just, I always try to tip cash because of what you just mentioned. Obviously not always possible, but always nice. And it's not just high-end places that the staff is making out good on tips. I would argue that a diner staff daily brings in really good tips, like good money on tips, not because of the one big tipper, but because of the constant traffic.
There are two sides to this. There's more than two sides. as there are for everything.
Yes.
But the other side is the consumer, and that's where I look at it mostly. How many times have we heard people complain about the tipping situation in the last 3 years, where now every single service is a do I or don't I tip situation? You're confronted with the tip screen at every single checkout that you have.
That's a problem.
Doing away with that would be great. Having a fixed price that would take into account, right? Like, what would happen if at every restaurant, instead of giving out tips, if at every place you raise the price 25% across the board, at every sit-down restaurant, at the end of the day, you're bill should be about the same for everybody going in, but it because that's what your tip would be. But it takes that decision, the conversation, all of that stuff that people don't really like out of your hands, and your hope, the hope is by raising the price, that money, that extra money would go into the hands of the workers.
But now you're not working for that tip. And you might not get as good a service if they know you're a good tipper. Now, you could also argue that everyone will get the same service, which is obviously what the consumer wants to hear. I'd like to see the numbers on if everyone just got a fixed wage compared to what the average member of a wait staff or a delivery driver or anything that's tipped in the food industry, compare how that would compare over a seven-day week, right? So a five-day work week. Because I would say, and this is just my experience, no, I've never worked in fine dining. I've never been on a wait staff. I've delivered pizzas. I work gig work. I delivered papers. Those are my tipped jobs experience. And let me tell you, I would not want to say no to the potential of going out there for 5 hours and bringing in $200. I mean, that's pretty good. You're not going to ever adjust the wage to where I'm getting that in 5 hours for going into work on a Friday night.
The other point to this would be you're not outlawing tips, right? Like, no one would arrest a tipper.
Most people will not if they know it's
most
included.
Most people would not, but I don't even want to say most people would not. I still think that there's a lot of people out there who would give something extra for a better service. But you say, I would like to also see it in practice. Well, you made mention of, oh, you're not working for that tip anymore. Like, that means you might not get as good of the service.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's how
I would like
some
to put
think.
That to the test. You know, in theory, if you eliminated it, you would be working harder. The best workers would be working at the best restaurant, right? It's like the way it's supposed to be. You go to the most fine dining establishment, you'd be getting the best workers because they'd be making the best rate of pay. It would be like working your way up in any other industry, wouldn't it be?
Yes.
You know, kind of start off over here. You work, okay, I've had experience serving here and here, and now I'm going, just like anyone who goes to a new company for a higher wage, you'd be going to a new restaurant for a higher wage.
But I would like to see what those wages are. That's not proposed in this article. But
I just can't
imagine that a wage would be whatever you would pay, whatever, and we have to think practically, you would get paid an hour to be on a wait staff. I can't imagine, and you're right, Brian, no one's going to outlaw tipping. I just can't imagine it would equal what you would bring in on a Friday, a Saturday,
well, forget the wages.
A holiday.
Let's stop talking about wages. It's
that
not wages.
Into it.
No. It wouldn't be wages. It's a fee on your bill. It's a flat. There's no tipping. It's like the gratuity included on your bill. If it were changed to that, wouldn't that be a happier outcome?
For who?
For everybody.
I don't think so.
Why
not? I don't think so, because I think you would have people that wouldn't, they'll say, oh, the gratuity is already added, I don't have to look at this, that's fine. And again, I don't know if it would equal exactly what that person is used to making in tips on a given day. I don't think you can fix that number into everyone's bill.
I think it would. If 25% gratuity included on the bill that you paid, and it goes right to whoever's working on your table.
But then that goes back to my argument of, well, I know I'm getting 25%. All right, they're going to get blah.
Yeah, well, then you get fired. Like okay, in any good business, then practice, you get fired. You do a bad job, you get fired.
In practice, I think this is coming from the perspective in the paper of someone who has not worked for a tip. I think you ask a majority of people who go to work, and they go to work knowing I could make this, I could make this. I would guarantee a majority of them say, my bad days do not outweigh my great days, and I would not want that to go away. And I know you're not saying it would go away. I'm not sure a fixed tip is the answer.
Well, what I'm saying is there has to be, I've over the last 3 years, it's been headline after headline, and you hear from people all the time, tipping's out of control. I hate tipping right now. I hate, from the customer's point of view, is there a better way to do it?
Stop asking me to tip things that 5 years ago you weren't asking me to tip. I think that's simply why this is under the spotlight it is. Not here, because this mentioned a lot of other things that have happened in the
past. Then you're going to have to pay more there, too. Right?
But who's tipping?
Of everything's gone up 20% in the last
tipping?
2 years.
And no offense to the people at the stadium. I love waiting in line and paying $18 for a beer. Don't get me wrong. But who's tipping someone to pop your can open?
I think a lot of people do now that screen's
really?
There. I think more than half do now that they're faced with that screen.
The person outside my section said, just press zero. And that's why I always go to them.
Don't give me money, please. Just like everyone says. So go to Steve in Tonawanda. Steve, you're on WBEN. How's it going?
Pretty good. I have a couple things on the tipping subject, because I treat it as to ensure proper or prompt service. So I tip at the beginning. I'll hand someone a 10 or a 20, dependent or more, depending on how many people are in the party. And if you're having a bad day and everyone else was getting poor service, if you already know that you're getting a good tip up front, you're going to give that much better service, because it's a better night for you now, versus you had a crap day and this person, that person, whatever said anything to you. And so it translates into your work day. And it is a job. So if you know that you have a benefit at the beginning of the service, well, you have that much better of an attitude going forward.
I'd like to know, Steve, and thanks for the call. I want to know how true that really is. If you are like me, you go out to a restaurant or something, like, you know, this idea that, well, you know, if I don't do a good job, I won't get a good tip and yada, yada, yada. I think you already, for the most part, have a baked-in tip.
As the consumer?
Yeah, is everybody. Like, you are getting 20% no matter what happens. You could say two words to me and be rude, and you're probably going to get 20% from. Like, you know, I can't imagine service bad enough where you're not just automatically getting that on the check. And I think that's how a lot of people operate. And you would know that if you're the wait staff. Like, the odds of somebody leaving nothing are slim to none.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Depending on where you are, I guess.
And I mean, I'm sure there are some stories of people who are, you know, on the wait staff at very fancy places, and they had a big zero with a line put through it, which there's not a bigger deflating feeling when you think you're going to get a big tip and you see them write that zero with a line through it. I've experienced that many times in my days of delivering pizzas. However, Brian, I would say for the most part, you're right. You know, I cannot think of a time where I took away from someone's tip. And if they only said two words to me, I'd actually probably give them a bigger tip, because I hate the constant, how's everything going? How were your first few bites? My first few bites were great. Thank you very much. We're in the middle of a conversation. So,
yeah,
but right? I can't think, I'm sure there is, like, if my food was spilled on me and they were rude about it, then maybe the tip starts getting decreased. But I can't think of a time I've gone out and taken away from the tip in the last decade.
So you already have that, right?
That's me.
I think a lot of people. So you already have, on a lot of people, you already have this idea of a baked in tip, so to speak.
Per person, yeah.
So, like, this idea that, oh, well, if we put in the tip in the bill, like, you're going to get bad service, you basically already have that. You already are operating and working under the assumption that you're going to get 20% you might get more. And that depends less on the job you do and more on the generosity or wealth of the person you're waiting on.
I just still don't think you're going to sell someone on community tips. I know there's places that do that.
It wouldn't be a community tip. It doesn't have to be a community tip. It's on the bill.
So per table.
It's on your bill. Like a gratuity added. But instead of, you know, like how they do for big groups, you go out to a restaurant, you have a group of six or more or whatever it is, they will add the gratuity. You just now do that for every table. You add 25%, 20%, whatever it is, add gratuity on the bill.
And that's taken away of what? Like, I don't understand why we're just baking it in when, again, I still think going in, having someone work for a tip, which I know we just proved, most people have their idea. I don't know why this is any better.
It takes away the tipping discussion. It takes away you writing down. This is what people hate to do. Writing down, coming up with the number, adding it all up. People don't like to do math, Joe. At the end of the day,
most places now have the tip recommendations.
You trust that? It's always wrong.
Oh, thanks. thanks for telling me now.
All the time. But you're taking it out of people saying you can tip extra if you want to. But no, this is the set gratuity for here. It's you have your servers now guaranteed. You know, they're not going to have that situation you talked about, Joe, where you think you're going to get tipped and you don't. You get a zero. That's not going to be an option anymore. You start to make everybody happy.
So it's not a tip. It's a service fee.
Basically, yeah.
I would still say if I had to vote, I would say I want to see situation by situation. I know that could probably screw everything up, but I still don't think that's – I think the right answer for the consumer and for the people working is you come up with a number and, you know, every table's a mystery, which, yep, sometimes can bite you, but sometimes can be a pleasant surprise. And I do believe that less people will add, if the tip's already in there, they won't even think about it. And you will have people that would have given more that won't add on to it because, well, they've already figured it out.
Yeah, well, the argument here is I don't want pleasant surprises or sometimes to bite me when I'm talking about what I'm taking home every day. I want to know
if you're taking home $300 on a Friday night, $400 on a Friday night after working 10 hours, you want to risk that? I don't think so.
You are risking it. You risk it all the time. This would actually now go to the wage argument part of it instead of like a baked in gratuity. You have nights that are completely dead. You have nights where not a lot of people show up and nobody will tip.
Goes back to my original comment though. I would guarantee, and I shouldn't guarantee, I would think most people are in my camp who work for tips that would say the bad days have not outweighed the great days. And if they did, you're not working there anymore. And it's not going to be much better if you bake the tip in.
Go to Rich in Williamsville. You're on WBEN. What do you think, Rich?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm a 39-year restaurant veteran, still in the business, all in management, upper management, in various companies, national chains, most of which were gratuity-based. And there's a famous restaurateur out of New York City named Danny Meyer. And a couple years ago, he wrote a book, and he talked about this. And there's a business angle to baking the tip into the check. And that is, if you go out to dinner and you get a bad experience, you might say, now me, I always have to tip. I just could never just stiff somebody. But I'll leave less for bad service and more for good service. But the owner-operator of the restaurant never finds out about that service because the person just says, well, I just won't leave a tip or I'll leave a lousy tip. So you can have a bad server who's hurting the business flying under the radar and they don't realize it. But if you know that 20 or 25% was added onto your check, and what he did in his restaurants was he just added in, I think it was 25 at the time because he was in Metro New York, and you knew right on there all the prices have been increased 25% to accommodate for the service. If you feel that the service wasn't worth that, please ask to speak to a manager and we'll adjust the bill. And all of a sudden, people were telling him about bad service and they were telling him about good service, and the restaurant was able to reward-based scheduling on whether the server was taking care of the people.
So that's interesting. So by using a fixed rate, you were able to more accurately figure out who was good, who was bad.
Yep. Now, you do have people that will do a thing called tip the bill, which is my bill is $120. I'm leaving $120 because I'm well-to-do and these people work hard.
Nice.
And, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. But that's pretty exciting and unusual in Buffalo when that happens. It does happen. It happens in more restaurants than you'd know. But it does, you know, you're automatically making 20-25%, which does kind of even out where you'd be. You'll still make $200 on a Friday night.
That's great.
Hey, pretty cool. Hey, Rich, thank you. I think that one of the problems and one of the reasons it'll never change is because there are so many different ways to attack the idea, right? Like that is, at the end of the day, when you have so many different ideas of how this could change, nothing will change.
Right.
Because you just end up spinning your wheels.
And then who's factors into that change and what tip jobs are still tip jobs, you know what I mean? I will say, and this kind of goes, it's kind of different than what we're talking about, but kind of the same at the same time, going back to flip the iPad around and tip a impressive tip, I say getting rid of that, consumers would be happy putting the tip jar back out. The tip jar at places where you go pick something up, you need
instead
to come back out.
Instead of the ask on and, the...
Yes.
But here's the thing. If you run one of these places and you have put the screen
you're
there,
getting rid of it. Yeah.
You cannot possibly get rid of it. Your workers would revolt on you because the tips have gone way up and everybody's making more money. Yep. So how are you going to take that away from them? I mean, it's like an impossible decision if you've already introduced it. It's rough. Somebody on the text board, though, this is they said, oh, it makes me mad when at takeout you give an extra dollar and they say nothing. I just want to – what are you expecting them to say? Like, oh, here's a dollar. Like, oh, thank you, master. Like, you want him to kiss your ring? Like, it's a dollar. I never expect anybody to say anything when I do a tip.
Yeah. Maybe it's because at gyms they thank you and you put something in the jar.
Joe, I worked at Cold Stone. You were supposed to sing a song.
Yes.
Every time
the great Howard Simon would not let you do it.
People would put like 75 cents in a jar and expect me to sing for them.
What song?
Oh, there was a whole list of songs. I never did it.
Was that Cold Stone or Johnny Rockets? Where were you
Cold
working?
Cold Stone. No, Johnny Rockets had to sing and then jump up on the table and dance, too.
Yeah.
I can't imagine working there. But I'm like, 75 cents in a communal tip jar, so someone gave me a dime. I can't even buy a Bazooka Joe with that. And now you want me to sing you a song? Like, get out of here. Like, I'm sorry. I'm 16, but I have some pride. Like, that's what I was saying.
I also, like, but that is also different than someone who turned around, picked up something off a shelf, and handed it to you. You know what I mean? Like, at Cold Stone, at least you were assembling what they were eating, right? You had to scoop it up. You had to put the whipped cream on. Maybe some hot fudge. Like, I can understand. I still, and this was something... I still understand tipping someone who's standing at a counter, literally not walking back to the kitchen, literally turning around, grabbing something off the shelf, and then thinking that they deserve a tip.
Well, I mean, your example of the beer at the game when somebody's just opening a can. Or now they don't even – I think they do it because they have to, like actually physically open the can.
They have
but
to
now
open
you are grabbing the beer at like half of these stands. Like you walk in, do it, and
which I love.
Do it yourself. The asking for – I don't – I feel bad. I don't tip anything because –
no.
There's nothing being done. You're just handing something to me.
You know what you should do to feel better about
that? A lot of people absolutely tip.
If it's put in front of them and you're staring the person in the eye, it's difficult for some people not to. You know what you should start doing, Brian? Opening it when you bring it up to the register. Since I've already taken that.
What would they do?
Yeah, I've already done that for you.
Where's my tip?
Yeah, where's my tip?
Can I the dollar that guy gave you, can you give it to me? We'll be back here tomorrow.
Yeah, wrapping it up on a Friday.
Friday already. I hope everyone has a nice one. You got David coming up after the news with Lucas on WBEN.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.